chapter 40. Bane had an idea.
Now that the woodlanders have gone,
he suggested cunningly,
why don't we sneak out of Kotir and hide ourselves in the bushes at the edge of the forest? We could hide right behind the position they held this morning. That way, we'll be able to turn the ambush on them if they come back tomorrow for another dawn attack.
Good idea, Fox,
Brog chuckled encouragingly. Sam Ina turned a frosty stare upon the captain. The chuckle died to a gurgle in his throat. Near open enmity was the order of the day now between her and Bane. She was sorry she had ever let him and his band inside her gates.
Fool Brog!
She snarled.
Can't you see this fox only wants us out of Kotir so that he and his raggedy band can slip in behind our backs?
Bane spread his paws wide disarmingly.
Oh, if that's what you think, lady.
Yes, that's exactly what I think, fox.
Samina snapped back.
That's a problem easily solved,
Bane shrugged.
You stay in here with your dead captain. I take the forces out into the woods. In fact, I'll take them tonight so that we can be well hidden by the time the woodlanders arrive.
Samina sniffed.
That's a better idea. I'll agree to that, Bane.
The fox laughed. He drew his sword and held it out.
Think you can trust me? Or would you like to confiscate my sword?
Samina's eyes slitted dangerously.
If I take that sword, I'll take your head with it, fox.
Bane sheathed the sword and spat.
If you ever try to take my sword, it'll be your head that comes off, cat.
We shall see.
Aye, we shall see.
Chib saw too. He heard all as well. A swift flutter of his wings took him out across Mossflower, back to Brockhall. Formal was pacing around in deep leaf mould with old Dinny. They were trying to remember the exact location of a disused tunnel.
There it may be. Mind, I only says maybe.
No, tis yer. I'd swore on my tunnel it's yer.
Nay, mayhap it's midway twixt they two.
Whoops! Earthen Quaker, look out!
The ground beneath them trembled and heaved. Both moles were tipped flat on the bottoms in the loam. Soil Flyer's head popped out of the ground. He blew dead leaves from his snout, grinning broadly.
Good morrow to ye, sirs,
he called cheerfully.
Cousins found that crossways tunnel as used to be yer.
Formal tried hard to preserve his dignity.
There he be out dead. I did tell ye it were there.
Oh, for a respectable formal, he be a girt fib bag.
Soil Flyer pulled himself free of the loam, followed by Earthclaw and Billum. They tugged their snouts in mock respect to their elders, Billum stifling a base giggle.
Oh, some of these old lads do enjoy life. Setting about playing in ee leaves like little lags, it do surprise, oi.
Formal shook a stern claw at Billum.
Lessen thy cheek. Get ye over to Brockhall and get ye victuals.
Over at Brockhall, things were running smoothly. The little ones played games with Columbine and Goody, while the abbess helped Ben Stickle and the mice to fletch arrows, which they tied into bundles. As deputy in Bella's absence, Abbess Germain was not too pleased that Skipper and Amber had disobeyed a Corrum decision, but she made allowances for the fact that they had lost friends in the ambush at the diggings. Nevertheless, she felt it was her duty to upbraid them.
You had no right to go off like that after electing to stay here. Both of you might have been killed.
Skipper was fishing pieces of hazelnut and leek out of a pan of stew that had gone cold beside the hearth. Germain rapped the table sharply with an arrow.
Skipper of Otters, are you listening to me?
Oh, aye, ma'am. I'm all ears,
he said abstractedly.
These last season's nuts are the one before. Right nice sweet taste they've got.
The abbess snorted in exasperation.
Now, I want both of you to promise me that you'll never do anything so foolish again. I'm surprised at you, Lady Amber. You a squirrel queen, too. That's not setting a very good example to others, is it?
Amber cocked her severed and bandaged ear stump toward Germain.
Hey, what's that you say?
All three dissolved in helpless laughter. Chib arrived with the moles, saving the miscreants further scolding. Reports were made to the Corrum leaders present. Ferdy and Cogs had arrived at a decision to become warrior carpenter cooks, so they served refreshments for everybody. As they ate, the abbess mulled over the situation.
Well, if the forces of Katir are hiding in the woods, it would be unwise for you two to try a repeat performance of today's attack.
Skipper grinned broadly.
Why, perish the thought, ma'am. They'll be keeping themselves busy by the sound of it. We'll just let them lie uncomfortable-like out there all night. Then they can shiver through the dawn, waiting for us not to turn up. What a damn squib.
Formal banged the tabletop at one of Ferdy's biscuits.
And if they varmints think us and stop to diggin', they don't know moles. Us'll have tunnels working again afore eventide, Mark.
Bella of Brockall had wandered far in search of a second hideout. If ever Brockall were discovered by the army of Sarmina, it was imperative that the woodlanders have a place of safety to flee to. The good badger was always conscious of her responsibility to the woodlanders. She felt she must undertake this search. Bella enjoyed the solitude of the far moss flower stillness after the close confines of Brockall in the company of woodlanders. By midday she was travelling east through vast tracts of field country. The badger knew instinctively that the river moss would be winding its way somewhere near, and her good senses were confirmed in due course. Bella seated herself on the bank of the broad swirling water. She did not resist taking a short nap in the early summer warmth.
Bella! Hey there, Bella of Brockhall!
The badger sat bolt upright, blinking away her tiredness. Gingervere was running towards her, and there was another cat with him, a sleek reddish female. The badger jumped up, waving her paws joyfully.
Oh, Gingervere, you old rascal! Who's your friend?
The female cat smiled and waved back.
Oh, you are just as I imagined you, Bella,
she said warmly.
Gingervere has told me all about you and his woodland friends. I'm Sandingum.
They sat on the bank together as Bella brought them up to date with the news and explained her mission. As she talked, Bella noticed how strong and happy Gingervere looked. The reason why soon became apparent.
Look at me, Bella. Would you believe it? I'm a farmer now. Yes, me, Gingervere, son of a dorger. We've got a nice little piece of land further up the bank, and the fishing is good in this river.
The badger was delighted.
Well, you certainly fell on your paws this time, friend, though you deserve it after all you've been through. Congratulations to you both.
Sandingham thanked Bella.
Any time you please. You may bring the woodlanders to stay with us. This place is too far away for Gingervere's wicked sister to find.
Bella stood up, dusting her coat off. She refused an offer to stay for lunch.
I wouldn't dream of intruding on two such happy creatures any longer,
she said firmly.
Besides, I've got to get back to Brockhall and give them the good news. Not only have I found a second hideout, but I've rediscovered our friend Gingervere and made yet another new friend in Lady Sandingham.
Gingervere smiled understandingly.
As you will, Bella of Brockhall. Give my best wishes to all the woodlanders, and don't forget to tell Ferdy and Cogs to visit Uncle Gingervere and Aunt Sandingham sometime.
Oh, I will, never fear,
Bella assured him.
Thank you. It's good to know that we of the Corrim have two great friends, always ready to help.
The badger set off westward, back toward the leafy glades of Mossflower in the noonday sun.
Goodbye, Bella of Brockhall. Good luck to you,
the cats called after her.
Thank you. Take good care of each other now. Goodbye, Farmer Gingervere. Goodbye, Lady Sandingham.